Welcome to this episode of Raising Resilience. I'm Pam Ressler, the founder of Stress Resources, and today my guest is Lisa Maharis. Lisa has more than 20 years of practicing yoga and 7 years as a certified instructor. She's also an avid golfer. And what I find so interesting about Lisa is she's found a way to combine two of my favorite activities, golf and yoga, into specific programs for golfers to learn yoga. In fact, she's on the staff at the Pinecrest Golf Course in Alexandria, Virginia, teaching aspects of mindful yoga to golfers. What I'm curious about is benefits that Lisa has seen in adding yoga to training in golf, the mindfulness and focus that can be derived from the practice of yoga, and also what came first in her life, golf or yoga. Welcome, Lisa. Looking forward to talking with you today.
It was golf and how it got started when my husband and I first married, our first anniversary. We wanted to not give each other a gift that I gave him and he gave me. We wanted to do a co-gift or a gift together. And so we took golf lessons because we thought that golf was something that we as a couple could do throughout our entire life and our entire marriage and our entire life. And that was surprisingly about 30 years ago. So we've been married 31 years.
Wow. Wow. So it started as a gift to each other. And here you are now, 30 years later, having expanded golf into a yoga practice as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I kind of introduced the two together. And there have been many books written on the subject with yoga and golfers. So it's out there. Mm-hmm. It's most golfers do participate or practice some form of yoga. We just don't see it necessarily brought up together.
That combination of putting them together is what I'm so impressed that you have done. Is someone new to golf or new to yoga? How do you get them away from the thought that this is very intimidating? I know some people feel yoga, they have to be super flexible or be able to bend like a pretzel, I've heard. And with golf, people are also intimidated. So do you work with that sense of intimidation in any way for somebody who's new?
I work on the intimidation. I know when I mention to people that I do teach yoga to golfers, the first thing that comes to mind when they say the response is, "Oh, I'm not flexible. I can't do that." And I said, well, the fact that you thought about it shows that you have a great bit of flexibility, because flexibility is not the body, it's the mind. Mm-hmm. And any type of a practice, anything that's new that you're doing, whether it be golf, cooking, gardening, housework, you have to be flexible and to look at new ways of doing something. But when you think about incorporating your yoga practice into the golf, it can be intimidating, but many people think that yoga is only for those very few that are very flexible, that can, you know, go into a splits or some sort of a human pretzel, taking their foot up to their ear and sitting down and, you know, being able to manage that and continuing to breathe through that type of a pose. And yes, yoga can look very flexible. Some yogis are very flexible where they're able to hold their bodies in many different unique shapes. But for most yogis, no. Yoga really is the combination of breath and movement. So even if you were just to sit in a comfortable position and inhale with your arms up over your head, and exhale slowly out, lowering your arms, that right there is the core essence of yoga.
I think so many people think it has to do with being on the mat, but what I'm hearing you say is this is just focusing however you are, upright, sitting, reclining position. We don't need a mat to do yoga like this. And I think that thought about bringing together mind and body is really the essence, isn't it? The fact that golf is very much a mental sport as much as a physical sport, and yoga lends itself to that increased focus and connecting with the body while we're also noticing the mind. It's a perfect marriage in a way of focus, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, it is. I mean, I think the number one benefit of yoga is focus. And it's also mindfulness because having that focus brings in that mindfulness. And then when you bring in that breath, that again brings in the mindfulness. It brings in and increases the focus. When you're able to breathe in and even slow that breath down, that brings your focus. That also increases strength. When we think about strength, there's mental strength and there's physical strength. Yoga does both. And with golf, you're right. Golf is more of a mental practice than it is even a physical, because that was one of the things that we knew that when my husband and I, 30 years ago, or 31 years ago, when we ventured out playing golf, it was a sport or an activity that you can do up into your elder years. You see many golfers out on the golf course that have reached the ages of 70, 80, maybe even 90, and they're still out there and they are very active and they're enjoying the game. And they're contributing to it, and they're using their focus, they're using their strength, they're using their agility, their
Yeah.
balance.
I
And
love
that's
that.
with yoga.
So
So
it really
it's
spans the ages, doesn't it? It's something that, as you said, people into their very late elder years can still feel good about the practice of golf as well as yoga,
Yes.
when they're thinking about this as a focused activity. That goes to my next question, which I think we've already touched upon, is how does this combo of golf and yoga really strengthen one's resilience? How do you think they work together?
It allows the person to build that inner strength. Every day we have to recenter ourselves no matter what's going on in our day. Activities at home, activities at work, activities out shopping, activities, encounters with anyone. You have to build in that resiliency. And sometimes, like I tell people, life is hard and life is not fair. And sometimes you have to recenter yourself and focus on your resiliency. And, as an analogy, add into the golf course. If you hit that ball and it goes right into the bunker, boy, you could really use that as a devastating day, devastating blow, and really just allow that to crush your entire day. But no, what you do is you take a deep breath in and you let it out and focus in. What do I need to do? I need to grab the right club. I need to tromp into that bunker. Hopefully it's a sand one and easy to get into and not a lake. That's not one you want to get into. And you position your body and you get the ball out. That's resiliency.
Yes.
And
And
it
you're in the
starts with your
moment,
breath.
right? I'm sorry. You're
You're in
right
the
in the
moment.
moment, right?
Yeah. And that's no different than an encounter at work, encounter at school, an encounter, anywhere you go.
Absolutely. I love that. I think, that commonality of taking us from ruminating about what has happened or the past, and also moving us away from that forward or future thinking about things that haven't happened yet. You can't do that in either golf or yoga, can you? You have to be in that moment of what your body and mind are doing right then and there. And that's a necessary pause we all need to give ourselves during our day.
Oh, yeah, we have to give ourselves grace. There is that pause. And taking
Absolutely.
those few minutes to center yourself. If you look at any of the professional golfers, they're centered. They're focused. They don't allow that little mishap to ruin the rest of the event. And sure, they probably know that everyone behind them is talking about it, but no, they don't allow that to happen. They use that as resiliency. Like our grandparents used to tell us, you got to, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. But it's finding that resiliency and whatever works for you, whether it might be, one or two slow breaths in, or maybe it takes four or five slow breaths. Maybe it just kind of takes a slow meditation to go back and kind of maybe count your clubs, count them again, grab the right club, and go back in. One of the things I think with yoga that lends it with golf and also really with life is because we've talked about flexibility, we've talked about breath, we've talked about focus, but also to that balance. And that balance comes from a strong core. And that's that physical part of it. But also too, the balance is in the body and in the mind. Balancing out of saying, okay, these are the things that I need to do to get that ball out of the bunker. You're going to use balance to get out of there. You're not going to just run in there and kick it out of there or throw it around and have a temper tantrum. No, you're going to use your balance. You're going to use your flexibility. You're going to use your strength. That, hey, I can do this. And you're going to recover. And that ball is going to be back on the fairway and you're going to finish up. Maybe
I
even better
like
than what
that.
you started.
That's so perfect. I mean, that image of that continual rebalancing is something that we often do without attention to it or without mindfulness. But as you said, bringing us into that moment, I like that idea. If we can't think of anything better to do, we can breathe. We can count our clubs. We can do something very tangible, to get us into that rebalancing. And I think that you just have to remember to go there, right? We can't let our mind start galloping forward or ruminating. Bringing us into that moment is so important.
And like I said, the focus, the strength, and then muscle memory. Our biggest muscle is our brain. I mean, that too, remembering to use those skills. How did that feel like to come back and recover from the ball in the bunker? I know many times when I'm out there playing golf, it's like, oh, it landed in the bunker. I'm thinking, oh gosh, this is, sorry, but I go in there and center myself, go in there and take care of business and get that ball out of there. And many times when the ball comes out, it ends up in a fairway in a much better position than it did when I was playing maybe on that fairway the day or before, or 2 times before that. Maybe I'm further down than what I thought. So sometimes, though something looked like it was an obstruction, or it looked like it was going to be a snag in my day, turned out maybe to be something good, and I was able to increase my skill set too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why don't you think that more golf clubs haven't made this connection? What's missing here, or how might we change this to make it a more national trend?
I think a lot of it is, I mean, honestly, I don't know. My observations are is that I think more golf clubs and golf locations want to focus just on the practice of golf and allow the member to decide on how they want to do their strengthening or their wellness on their own. I guess where I am, I work for Fairfax County, And I was recruited actually by the golf course to offer that program because the particular county golf course that I'm a member, actually that I'm a on staff at, we offer different fitness classes. We offer different training classes. We've got multiple golf pros. We have a Titleist golf skills classes. And yoga for golf is just one of those. I will say that they're not as highly taken. I mean, there's not many signed up. So if you come and take one of my classes, it's going to be a small class. It's almost like a private lesson.
So, but they already have that mindset of more than just golf lessons at where you're teaching. So that culture was established in some way. And I have a feeling that this culture of golf courses being more than simply a driving range or a place to take lessons in golf, is still pretty prevalent. And but I think people are looking for a more holistic way of being outdoors, of their fitness, of as we've talked about, the mental focus. And I think that the time is right to change the culture in some other golf courses. And I don't know the answer, but I think people are looking for that change. It's not going to be able to be the same as it's always been, I think, going forward.
Well, and a lot of it, in looking at that total person or that total fitness, golf is just one aspect of it. And golf, the torque that golf puts onto the body and onto the back, like many golfers will walk off the course after, playing 9 holes or 18, and their back is very it's sore. Their arms are sore, their hips are sore, and many of the comments that I hear is that, oh wow, my hips and my back are sore. And many times that a swing is loss or a loss of power in that swing is because of that tightness from the shoulders through the lumbar spine and into the hip area. And one thing that yoga does do is it does strengthen and stretch the spine in six different directions. And that is just simple twisting of the spine kind of in a controlled manner and moving it to where that way you're moving around that spinal fluid. And then you're working on other poses that then will strengthen the muscles around that spinal area. Because there's one thing to move that spine and move it around and turn it around, but strengthening it as well. So that way when you do get on that golf course and you do that first tee off, the torque that is placed from that swing down into the ground and up and around is tremendous on the spinal cord. And by strengthening it, by adding in core exercises, by adding in stretching and strengthening exercises, because when I teach, I use a lot of exercises that strengthen the core, but I also use a lot of the using your own anatomy to understand how your body is built and making sure that when you're working with your poses that your hips are stacked over your knees, stacked over your ankles. And that's where that body awareness comes in and then muscle memory, which is important for golf because when you go out there and you're up at the tee box and you're getting ready, you put your body in a certain position to the direction that you want the ball to go into. So you're basically using your anatomy of how your body structured is with your back, your knees, your ankles, your heels, where your toes are pointed. Are your toes pointed outward Are your toes pointed more inward? That is a muscle memory. And yoga really helps hone in where the body is and where it should be to get them both the most or the best movement to move that ball down the fairway. And when we talk about, you know, stretching of the back, you're working the cervical, the thoracic, and the lumbar. And in yoga, many of the stretches are stretching out that lumbar, which is the lower part of the back. Stretching out the back of the hamstrings, that helps release that lumbar if you have a tight lower back. It also does twisting, which works on developing that spinal rotation, which when you turn and you want to do that full rotation on your club, it helps that easement of it because you've conditioned the body.
So that's really interesting. So there are kind of two components or three components. We have the body awareness, we have the muscle memory, and we also have that increasing some flexibility with the core, especially around the spine. What are some, if somebody's listening now and they say, oh, this sounds great, and they're set to go out, let's say, to the driving range, and they want to do a few yoga stretches before they hit some balls, what would be your advice? What would be the couple of poses or stretches that you would advise them to start with?
I think that the first one would be a crescent side stretch. And that's essentially where you're going to inhale up, take your hands above your head where your palms are touching, and then as you exhale to the right side, and then inhale back up to center, so your fingertips are back up to the sky, and then exhale over to the other side. And controlling with your breath how far you bend down. Because for some people, if they've never done anything like this, it may be painful. It may be hard on the back or the core, especially if the core is not developed. But it's a really good way just to kind of warm the spine up. Another one I like, my favorite one, is cat-cows. Cat-cows can be done on a mat or can be done on, they can be done seated. And that's where you're basically pulling in the body, you're pulling in the chin to the chest, doming out the spine. And then on an exhale, or I mean on an inhale, you're pushing the chest up through the shoulders into what is known as that cow position. And that again is that second movement of the spine. Yeah. And that's a really good movement to get that spinal fluid moving in through there. Cat-cow can be done in a standing position or a seated position, or they can be done from a tabletop position on the ground. Now, obviously, if you're at a golf course, you might not want to put your hands and your knees and your feet on the ground, especially with balls flying around and all the activity that goes on at a driving range. Yeah, it might not be safe. But those are things that you can do in the car. You can kind of do them over next to the car. You can do them next to your golf bag out of that line of fire of any stray balls. You know?
And the breath work can be done basically any place. Somebody could focus on breath work. How do you advise them to work with the breath? Do they do counting? Do they do kind of physical focus on an inhale and exhale? What do you recommend?
I would say whatever is comfortable for the person and kind of build themselves up to it. When I first started teaching, I had a colleague tell me, and she's a former nurse, and she's teaching yoga too. Matter of fact, she's one of our Titleist golf instructors. And she had noticed that a lot of people, it's difficult for them to take a full breath in. And it might even be a little, I'm not going to say the word painful, maybe awkward, because most of us tend to be shallow breathers.
Yes.
But it's something that you kind of have to work up to. So I always just kind of tell people just to relax into it. Sit at a comfortable location. I usually tell a chair that's got a little bit of support to it. Sometimes if it's one of those overstuffed chairs, we kind of just sink into that chair. It kind of defeats the purpose because we've kind of became one with that chair. But sitting up as tall as you can, think of stacking your vertebrae up. And just even a lightly, even if we did it right now, and if the listeners are even listening, sitting up there with both feet on the ground, firmly to the ground, hands down on your thighs, if you feel like you need a little bit of balance, if you feel like you need a little bit more energy, flip your hands over so that way you've got a little bit of your palms up. So that way you can receive that energy. Because we have energy all around us. That's the spiritual part of it. But it's also the spiritual even turns into the physical piece of it too. And just focus on where that breath is. And think of filling up the lungs and slowly exhaling out. If adding a count in is something that works, then try it. There is no perfect count. I start many of my classes is that we inhale for 5 slow counts and exhale for 6 slow counts. But necessarily don't put a label to it that there has to be a count. I think that's where sometimes that we get a little hard on ourselves that, I couldn't do to the 5 counts or the 2 counts or whatever it was. No, you do what you can do at that time. And that's going to be, that's your best. And if you would like to add on to it, then add on to it.
That sounds
but I think that one
wonderful.
Right there.
Yeah. And I think you're giving permission, Lisa, for people to start where they are instead of setting a goal too high. They can do, everyone can breathe, right? And it's just shifting the mindset to the focus and giving permission to do that, right?
Yes. Always give yourself grace. You know, and one of the things with breath, people don't realize this. You can't breathe in the future and you can't breathe in the past.
Very true.
It's in the present.
Very true. It's this breath, not the past one and not whatever future breath may be there. Absolutely. Yes, this will sound very familiar to any listeners who have listened to any of my meditation recordings over the years. Absolutely. You have to breathe in the present. This has been so helpful. For me, as a relatively new golfer and a longtime mindfulness practitioner, I've just begun to meld them together. And you've done it so gracefully and beautifully that hats off to being such a trailblazer here. I think that the more we can connect some of these important pieces of our mind and body, wherever that may be, and instead of keeping them separate, is so helpful to all of us. Is there anything I should have asked you during our conversation that I didn't get around to doing? We could go on, I'm sure, but being respectful of everyone's time, I just want to say, is there something else that you want to add?
I think the most important is one for someone who's thought about maybe doing yoga, but thought that it was not within their reach or something that wasn't obtainable because of whatever, you know, how do you get started with yoga? How do you find a practice that suits yourself? And the only advice or recommendations I would provide is, of course, always check with your physician to make sure that any type of the yoga poses are going to be good for your body.
Right.
Even if you've had a hip replacement or a knee replacement, yes, it is possible. You just need to know what your limitations are. And, you know, speaking with your physician, speaking with your physical therapist or whoever did any type of a knee or hip replacement or even shoulder replacement or anything like that, speaking, having that conversation first. You don't want to start a new program and not have all the knowledge. But how do you get started? Definitely look online. There's a lot of yoga instructors out there that are online. And maybe sit back and watch it just to see, hey, I can do this one. Maybe not that one. Maybe not, and see the classes that you like. Or maybe even reach out to a yoga studio in your community. check with the yoga studio, make sure that that person that's offering the class is that they're certified. So that when you walk into that establishment, they are certified, they know yoga, they know how to use the practices and use the strength buildings, because there's a lot of fitness programs out there that are looking like yoga, but it's more of a fitness, it's more of strengthening. But asking, hey, how would someone with my level do well in this class? How does a beginner do well here? And then another little hidden gem is there are a lot of community centers that offer yoga classes that are very reasonably priced, maybe even free. Check those out. And then also to a lot of counties and local municipalities have fitness and exercise programs for all ages, all levels. Check those out. And they're very, very reasonably priced. They're done there in your community centers. It might not be at a yoga studio, because yoga studios, they might not meet everyone's needs. I do practice at a yoga studio, and to be honest, Pam, I sit there and I know my level, and I look around and I thought, gosh, what if this was 20 years ago when I first walked into yoga? How well would I had melded to this? It might not have been an approachable situation for me, but the yoga studio that I started at, it started at a ballet studio that I was taking adult ballet classes at. And I just kind of tripped into it. I mean, literally, I don't say tripped into it, but I just kind of fell into it. And I thought, wow, I can do this. So each journey is different. And if you did go to a yoga studio that just didn't work out and it just didn't seem to suit you, try somewhere else. Try what's best, a better match, you know? So that's the only advice I could give anyone is look around, ask some of your fellow golfers and ask some of your other friends, hey, do you do this yoga stuff and what's it like? Because I hear it's not just, no, for those that are limber and young. No, 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 no. It is not.
Wonderful advice.
But I hope that opens up just the aperture for others to think of the art of the possible.
Absolutely.
Thinking that something, that a door might have been closed, and opening that door, at least is peeking into the door.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't need to go in with both feet at first. You can just put a toe through. But this has been so helpful, Lisa. I think, you know, what comes across to me is the possibilities that you bring to this combination of yoga and golf. And you do it so gently and so gracefully. I really appreciate that. I hope you know you're a real trailblazer in melding these two disciplines. I mean, I'll call golf a discipline because it really is. It's meditation out there, isn't it? Along with yoga. And you've done it so well that I hope that others take notice, and that this is, as we move forward, we're seeing many more women on the golf course since the pandemic, and many more age groups. And I think the time is right for thinking about how do we balance, as you said, and how do we rebalance and continue to rebalance throughout our life. So thank you so much for taking time to chat with me, and I'm sure other people will learn so much from the conversation, and hopefully it will raise their resilience a bit. So thank you, Lisa.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thank you for allowing me to be part of your day and sharing my knowledge. And hopefully I've inspired someone to do something new and different that they never thought that they would be doing.
That's a wonderful way to end. Thank you so much.
Thank you.